I'm going to record one for myself, see how it comes out. I'm going to talk, and as I talk, you're going to hear something in the back. And I'll try to be Krishna conscious, because that's the most important thing, to be Krishna conscious. The thing is, can these emotions, sentimental, loving, from the world, be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness? Madhava put it well when he said, the musicians may not have made this for Krishna, but we can take it and offer it to Krishna. Or maybe they did have God consciousness in mind. Of course, many love songs are just boy-girl. My Funny Valentine, for example. A guy is describing that his girl may not be the world's most beautiful person. Her chin is a little weak. She's funny. But he loves her. So that's Maya, isn't it? That's Cupid. That's illusion. So what does that have to do with Krishna consciousness? This is the kind of thing I work through. What I usually do is kind of put it off the discursive platform, take the debate away and just assume that what Madhava said is true. And I just go into my own feelings. The danger is that when I let myself go, I find I'm not a devotee. Am I a devotee or a demon? Is my sentiment for Krishna or for this world? Am I going to hear this funny Valentine at the time of death and not be able to dovetail it? So, am I just like an old drunk? Talking a sentimental streak. This is the negative. But often I leave this behind and I just start talking my own heart, which has become Krishna conscious-ized to some degree. And so I say things like, I remember good times in ISKCON, blah blah. Cutting down always those two voices, the negative and the positive, the gremlin and the guy who thinks he can embrace the world. It's a very ambitious feeling that these things can be used in Krishna's service. And maybe we've become out of touch with our emotions. And that's why I go back to this, laughable, embarrassing as it may be, for a person of my so-called stature and position in the ISKCON movement to be doing this. Wouldn't want anyone to catch me, huh? Rock and roll's okay, because it's for preaching, right? It's for the kids. We preach to the kids. But otherwise... So what are you saying? I'm saying that I like this to some degree, and I do think that there's something there for preaching and for expression. I do think I have gotten out of touch with certain emotions I used to have, and that now I can dovetail it in Krishna's service. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Hare Krishna. Goodbye, pork pie hat, is an elegy. for a great musician and friend who passed away. So I thought of this in connection with how I might talk with music, in terms of some feelings we had for Srila Prabhupada when he left. How he felt sad. I was thinking, not his final departure in Vrindavan, because that was grief, hysteria. But say, when he left New York City for San Francisco in January 67. But how could the people who listen to the things I do put up with such a, to them, raucous, whiskey-soaked sax? They don't know that kind of bhava. They don't like it. It's like the guru takes one kind of sweet and the disciple says, do I have to like Sandesh too? And then others, they're completely put off. They say, well, he can like Sandesh and I may not like Sandesh. Or maybe I will like Sandesh just because he does, but this? Anyway, let's get back to the idea of the bhava. I mean, if I had the bhava, that's good enough. Whatever I felt, I can tell you. You don't have to like this music. I mean, there are so many things I read, I don't relate to them, but I relate if the person is genuine about his experience. Etty Hilsum in Amsterdam, just before she was sent to the death camp. Or so many experiences. Robert Service writing about the Klondike region. If it's true. Anyway, walking on the street, walking from your work down Second Avenue to the storefront, but you know, Swamiji's not there. You go up into his room, and he's not there. You're all alone now. Do you really want to be Krishna conscious? Do you really like the boys, Brahmananda, Hayagriva, their joking, frivolity, the lazy guys? You gave up everything just for this, and now the Swami's gone. Goodbye. Will he come back? What service and separation? Swamiji, do I really have to do this? Boy, the city seems so empty and scary now. Look within. Try to find it. You're not really alone. Swamiji hasn't really left. But he's left something, something kind of blue within us. And that comes out, you can hear it, in our croaky, lonely kirtans. We gather still in the morning, but it just don't sound the same. Krishna, I'm getting warmed up to this stuff, this combination. I thought about a poem I wrote in Shack Notes. Actually, there are a number of references to this music, this black American classical music, some people call jazz. A number of references to it in my writings. usually ambiguous, but more of a put-down of some past maya. And I feel now a little regretful about that. Feel it's a little harsh. It was even not so truthful. What is that? What do you call that syndrome? Love, hate, you know, like the brahmachari who says, boy, women are really ugly, aren't they? They all look like cows. Stupid women. And he's actually attracted to women, then he gets married. Too much negativity denotes attraction sometimes. So, I mean, there was something there, and I was harsh with it. There was a love there, and I thought it was a forbidden thing. Now I'm trying to sort it out. So I'm going to read a poem now. It refers to, you'll hear about it in the poem, but a little background will help. In the poem, the writer was talking about hearing on the radio Thelonious Monk's rendition of his own Crepuscule with Nelly. And so the poet was, he was in a store, I think, with a woman friend of his, and that this tune came on, and he was just trying to convey that it produced something very beautiful between the two of them, and the crepuscule means moonlight. So about the evening was coming on while the radio was playing the song. And anyway, he was, to him it was something moving and beautiful, and I kind of put down the poet, and I put down Monk in my poem. So I'm going to read the poem, and then I'm going to play Crepuscule with Nelly, which is only, usually plays it very briefly. This is only 2 minutes 39 seconds. And first I want to say, however, that neither do I want to now, in retrospect, put down the poems and that mood of renunciation. You could call it harsh. Maybe I thought I was done with something that I'm not done with, but it was good to try to shut the box. And it wasn't philosophically wrong either. So we go on like this on the zigzag path of truth. Here's the poem. It's called A Query and Reply Regarding Experience. But did you have any experience when you heard of Krishna swimming in the Kaliya Lake? I just read a poem where the poet has a deep, though casual, experience listening to the jazz piano of Thelonious Monk. So I know Krishna is supposed to be greater, but what about your experience? Or do you say that's not even important? But how could it be unimportant? I mean, Krishna is there in eternity, they say, and his eternal devotees have deep experience, but what about you? That's a good question, and I'd like to answer. Krishna swimming eludes me, and yet he is swimming in my mind, maybe like a little fish. Let me put it this way. Even if Krishna swimming in me is just a little thing, he's got something Monk is alluding to but can't give us, as his song ends. Monk is this world only. I know the feelings. I remember listening to his Getting Sentimental Over You with Charlie Rouse playing sax. I felt it for years. Pain and beauty and art, for sure. Human genius, the gods, mysterious sounds. What does your poet say? And now a quote from that poem about the other fellow in the book. Monk is playing the warm dusk, and everything within us and beyond us goes without saying. Well, if you don't know Krishna at all, then there's no use my explaining. And if you know what he is, even a little bit, then you'll know what I mean. I'll take that little fish of Krishna in my mind instead of all the world's beauty, pain, and love as summed up in any moment or jazz song. So I really didn't have the experience of Krishna, and I was aching at my lack of experience. And here comes this poet talking about experience that he felt, but that experience was not explicitly God conscious. So I put it down and I say, well, I may not have experience of God, but at least I'm onto God. So what can this guy feel? He says his experience goes without saying. Well, I think it has to be said. So I'm a little bit the hyper preacher there. I said I wouldn't put down the poem, but I'm doing it a little bit. But, you know, we love the Hare Krishnas, even when they are a little fanatical. They got the right thing. They got Prabhupada's books. They're trying to give you the book. I'm like the fellow Prabhupada talked about in his letter to Lynn Ludwig. You know, she said, I met one of your devotees, and why don't you put more love into these people that you send around? And Prabhupada said, but please forgive them. They're trying to kick off Maya, which is a great thing to do. And so in an immature stage, they may not have love. They may seem negative. But they're doing a great thing. And he was implying more than you are. You're not even trying to get rid of Maya. You're in love with Maya. So that's always there. And I felt it on the beginning of this tape when My Funny Valentine came on. Uh-oh, this is seductive. But and it's not, you know, bringing you to love of Krishna. So beware also. We like the fellow then who says, you know, that Krishna consciousness, even theoretically, is better than feeling full for monk. But I say now, there's more to the story than that. Now, let's go with Crepuscule with Nelly and see if it can evoke something for me more to say while it's going. Because that's the whole thing, not just to be a disc jockey, since I know that others don't really necessarily want this. This was recorded in a concert in France. This has to do with sharing. I always felt that way. I used to like to take my sister to a jazz club or hear a record and say, isn't this good? But you know, you try that sometimes and people just don't like it. There's limits to the lines of communication. Like that story of the woman who read her intimate diary to her lover, and she looked up and he had fallen asleep. This can be a serious cause of collision between people. So I put it down, and now I bring it out. It goes without saying, Krishna is the best, but this comes from him too, doesn't it? He's not outside Krishna. Hare Krishna, this is turning out to be a sharing thing. I don't think as part of my sadhana or personal practice, I'll be doing a series of talks with music like this. So while it's flowing, I'll just get it all out. Maybe just one tape. And as I say, it seems like the reason for it is for sharing. Probably my readers of my books are more familiar with the name of John Coltrane than any other musician. He even appears in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And it's not a surprise. I mean, not only because he was important for me personally, but I was, after all, a product of the times, and he was important for a lot of people in the Grove a dictionary of jazz under Coltrane, it says about him, in his final years and after his death, Coltrane acquired an almost saintly reputation among listeners and fellow musicians for his energetic and selfless support of young avant-garde performers, his passionate religious convictions, his peaceful demeanor, and his obsessive striving for a musical ideal. And, of course, the main thing I have written about is a love supreme. And the dictionary says about him, Coltrane developed a type of meditative, slow, rubato melody based on black gospel preaching. And it says, not just the love supreme, but in different places he did things. He interpreted a speech by Martin Luther King Jr. into music. In Psalm, that's a section of A Love Supreme, he instrumentally narrated his own prayer with underlaid text from the album jacket. This technique also appears in another place. And I don't know what that means by narrated. He's not actually singing with words, but they give a piece of music here, and to it goes his prayer, A Love Supreme, I will do all I can to be worthy of Thee, O Lord. In the dictionary also, under the discussion of jazz rock, it mentions how he was influential to young people. Toward the last years of his life, Coltrane came to be regarded not merely as a great musician, but something of a prophet or guru, that's in quotes. He seemed to exemplify a spirit of brotherhood and love for his fellow humans, which was particularly attractive to young people who had found a creed and culture in the flower power movement of the period. Although Coltrane hardly had a following equal to that of the Beatles or Jefferson Airplane, he was known to many, especially those who had bought his album A Love Supreme as much for spiritual as musical reasons. So I wasn't alone in that. But to my readers and for myself as a writer, he's a distant persona. He's part of what comes up when I engage in confession of the past, along with Kafka or LSD and so on. I did sometime, I remember while traveling in the van in Europe, get a hold of the tape of A Love Supreme and hear it again. But then I thought I shouldn't. I just heard a few minutes, in fact, and stopped. It was maybe out of that guilt that I put Coltrane down in print in the book Memories. That section of Memories starts out, it's titled Emotion Evoked by Jazz. Is it always Maya or something else? That's sort of begging the question that it is Maya, but maybe not always. Coltrane, my old friend, master musician, you were wrong. I know that now. You were playing the same old riff. You gave yourself to it, but at what cost? I listened to you when you slowed down and assured me that a love supreme does exist. I know now who that is, and he is. So I go on saying that Krishna is beyond the playing of John Coltrane and his fellow musicians. And then I raise the question, what does this have to do with Krishna consciousness? And I try, again, it's that ambiguous, that guilty writing, which I think is less, at this point, was less than completely honest. I still had more to go to open myself up, to admit love, and addiction, but we use the word attachment, attraction. But anyway, I kind of get a little soft in Memories and say, what does it have to do with Krishna consciousness? Or you could raise it, isn't it Maya and should not even be discussed? Or we can answer it in another way. Yeah, what does it have to do with Krishna consciousness? Does the music have an inner form? Does it sing of an incoherent expression of love of God? That very question, what does this have to do with Krishna consciousness, can become a search and a cry. But the opening line is stark. Coltrane, you were wrong. And I've since written something that probably will eventually be published. I don't exactly remember where I wrote it, where I said, I'm sorry that I said that. He's not right in the absolute way that Narada is right and Prabhupada is right. But he's not wrong in looking for and searching and dedicating himself for musical ideal and for praising God, as he does very wonderfully in his poem that's on the album of Love Supreme. So I'm going to play something by him and let you in on something that I wrote while listening to it by that method I call ITM, or improvisation to music. And this was part of a working series that I continue to do called Field Work, which are just sort of like very free writing improvisations, which I usually don't get so much of a theme. They're just separated prose passages with some poems in them. And so I wrote this along to the John Coltrane Quartet playing Crescent. Oh, guess what? I don't have what I wrote when I listened to Crescent. So I'll go back a few months ago to something I do have. The poem is called To Coltrane's Afro Blue. This is going to be quite different because Crescent is very calm and peaceful, that kind of God consciousness. And Afro Blue is not. Coltrane's music was sometimes like being there in peacefulness, and sometimes chasing God, screaming out a kind of purification, but always after God consciousness. So this is kind of wild stuff. I was trying to make this tape very accessible, but this is truthful. So here we go. The truth of the Upanishads, I told him. Go there to where it comes. The geologist knows, and I know, the gold soul. They can know it in Africa or anywhere. From a Hare Krishna person, like a devotee in saffron. We guys, we sell books, give out prasad. Hey, Harry, you mean the Harrys have knowledge? What about Groovin? What's the relation to that? What is a monk like you doing in a place like this? I'm in my room alone. Via CD I hear, and in the mental spiritual space with Train on my terms. Yeah, but they're his drums. Oh, cold in chest. Oh, listen, frere, bro. You are a Franciscan monk, a Buddhist barefoot, Emily Nutt, and worshipping God of Upanishads and Brinda Aranyaka, Baka Waka. He made fun, Murray, of the Buddha's book, Dhammapada. He said, Dhammapada Wada Nada. Yeah, I was looking, and I can find. He's drumming. Cool it. We're going there. Oh, mighty one, friend Brown. You took me through a little pain yesterday, and I backed out and opted for a pill to serve thee better. You were forcing me to go as fast as possible with you. One has to learn from a bona fide hark. Hierarch, hark, the Ark of Triumph, the Radicals of Rheingold, the titles undercovering ISKCON reality. We're here, not there, Vraja. We're here in spring, in rain. It's autumn, chestnut, nut. No, no temple visit. I celebrate alone keeping. Oh, nurse, massage my head and feet. Keep me warm indoors. The shed, to shed, head with colors. scream. No, it's good. It's wail, prayer, in sound and speech. He's praying this way? Yes. You've got to understand. Like a fakir or a sadhu with one reed blowing in the tower. Poor India, vast chaos, throws you down, spits you out in hospital jail, people's dark faces inquiring of you, who do you think you are? You respond with sadhu persona, which is all you know. Take me to ISKCON. Now I bow to GBC, but keep my soul. He's taking us home in a few minutes. There's no way but hearing from your teacher. I doubted him, why he asked for a luxury car to India. And I listened to those who said, he doesn't appreciate service. No, I submit. I don't know his mind. Vaishnavara Kriye Mudra. No ice cream cone, misunderstanding of guru. Can't spell, can't froth, can't run. Please, guru, give me, please, Krishna. In heart, let me honor my spiritual master and recall the good things and know he's above me. Whatever he does is preaching and doesn't need my advice. I'll serve him even if I can't realize, understand all he does. Yes. Nice time. Lay it to rest. You help. I like you too. You are right. Like a faker or a sadhu with one reed blowing in the tower, poor India, vast chaos, throws you down, spits you out in hospital jail, people's dark faces inquiring of you, who do you think you are? You respond with sadhu persona, which is all you know. Take me to ISKCON. He's taking us home. Krishna. We got more McCoy Tyner on piano than I bargained for, but that's the idea. I'm thinking just now, what is the point of my making this recording? The point would not be, as they say in Ireland, they use the wood indirectly, the point would not be to introduce you to jazz and try to get you to like this music. I think it's more telling you more about myself so that you can understand me. And of course, we always want to do that. People want to be understood. And I'm making this tape, it becomes a little clearer to me for those who do want to understand me, who are willing to. And so with that in mind, I was thinking what else to play in the remaining minutes. I could play something that's, I think, is a real groovy sound that you might like, but that, again, it might be more like, well, what's the idea of that? If it's not introducing yet another aspect of why you do this and what it means to you. So I think I'll choose a piece that gets further into how I'm relating to this music. I'll do that by playing something more avant-garde, maybe not as accessible. Again, if I was trying to win you over to jazz, I might not play this. But this is good to help you understand that I find kindred spirits in some of these musicians in trying to go beyond set forms, how they are on a sometimes like a crusade against cliches, and even the tradition that they were handed down, they keep changing. They never break from their masters, but they go into something further. So this certainly strikes a chord in me. I've been handed so many things that you have to do exactly this way. It's very rigid, the parampara presentation. At least it is in ISKCON. But there are changes from acharyas to acharyas, and some of them are radical changes, like the ones that Narottam Das Thakur made in his time. So I get encouraged to see how that can be done and how I can get in tune with it, so to speak, so that I do it in my own way, in some sense so very, very different and far apart from what they were doing musically, but emotionally there's a similarity. I also take on an influence from these musicians by what I read about them. So I'm going to play Cecil Taylor, who is avant-garde, has been controversial, and he's very uncompromising, playing his kind of music. So that spirit of that kind of personal integrity that is not at all commercial and just is dedicated, even if people mock you, and in the end wins out, is certainly a kind of inspiration. This is part of something that he plays. It's almost an hour long. I'm only going to play 5 minutes, so it's hardly much of an introduction. But I'm playing it just to see if I can say some things to help you understand me a little more. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I think like what I do is just listen, and it right away brings up emotions. Some of it is screaming, chaotic dissonance. And words just come up. I don't feel like I'm in evil hands. One needs to be with artists, and not just people who know the right philosophy, to be with people who inspire you to go do your writing for Krishna. Now, I don't always get turned on. Sometimes I get turned off, and I say something in my own words, that's the antithesis of what they're doing in the music. In other words, sometimes it's austerity, and I go through the punishment. Because life is punishment too, and this is a way I can sort of take punishment sometimes and express the hard time in words. Because one person said about writing, show me your wounds. That's what the reader wants to see, you know. What did you go through that was difficult, and how did you respond to it? So our different art forms make it somehow beautiful and something that we want to hear and get inspired by, what is suffering or what is difficult and so on. I'm not going to give you more than that. I want to turn now to something else. You may remember in that poem a specific reference to Thelonious Monk, I'm getting sentimental over you. And you may recall my writing about that somewhere else too, that there was a special moment once when I went into a friend's apartment on the Lower East Side around 1964 or so, and his name was Richie, I remember, not a close friend. It was probably winter. The tenements closed up tight, as they are in the winter, Lower East Side slums, smoke coming out the top of them, five-story buildings, block after bleak block. And there we would be in our different apartments, visit each other, smoke marijuana and so on. Anyway, I didn't have this record, and I played Getting Sentimental Over You by Thelonious Monk with Charlie Rouse, and wow, I don't know, it just like produced a culmination, mystic moment of the love we were seeking, the life we were living. I was looking out the window. It was more than just being with people. It was something real special. I looked for that record later and couldn't find it, and finally I did. And I'm going to play a little bit of it. Now again, it's not to introduce you to music, but see if I can say something else that comes to mind, because there's something in there special for me. Not to be played to death. I don't play it often. I just played it once, in fact, and wrote to it. But it's really sweet. Okay. Hare Krishna. I'm afraid to talk. I don't want to be sentimental. I don't want to be seen as sentimental. In college, I learned sentimental means that the object of love is unworthy, or it may be worthy, but your expression of it is unworthy. In Krishna consciousness, gee, we say a lot is sentimental. Love turns into lust and illusion. Love is for Krishna. But sometimes we make the mistake of being too cold. So we go back, or we go within, and try to fulfill those emotions in different ways. You have to get off, either in kirtan, or in prasadam, or in however you can, Vrindavan Bhav. So how could a devotee find a Bhav in this? Well, I had no such problems at the time when I told you I was listening to this and had my little mystic experience. Maybe the sax was like the smoke going up over the tenement buildings on that winter day, gray New York City day. And as unhappy as surroundings were, as unhappy as I actually was, so starved, materially, mentally, spiritually, sexually, I wanted love, and it seemed like it was just being given to you by this person who could play like this, gifted with that expression and that communication. We can feel, we can love. Now in Krishna consciousness, there are risks that we shouldn't take, but another risk is not to risk. Sometimes we go back to something that was meaningful to us once, and we say, oh, how could I have ever liked that? What trash. And sometimes, even in Krishna consciousness, officially, we're not feeling fulfilled. As one devotee said, my emotions needed fulfillment. So here's a person who's fulfilling his emotions, this artist. How are you, Prabhu, fulfilling your emotions? Is it in prasad? Is it in kirtan? Where's your creativity expressed? Where's your kindness? What are you giving to others? What are you in touch with actually? Of course, we have to go through dry periods and stick with the right thing, not just go something that makes us feel alive. I'm not advocating. I'm just telling you something that feels good to me. You want to talk on top of music? We'll try this on for size. Dushtaman. That's Prabhupada. You know? Prabhupada? Dushtaman? That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's poem. Oh, my mind, why aren't you a Vaishnava? Getting into so many things, getting seduced. I play this particular bhajan often at night More often, I play one without drums in cartels. I play the Hare Krishna Bhajan, it's called, vintage CD. I've just discovered CDs within the last 4 months. Wow, new world, huh? I play Hare Krishna Bhajan and Mangalacharana. Both have only harmonium, which suits my fragile mood. So I put it on 15 minutes after 6. I'm very regulated in terms of time. And then I begin my ritual with the deities. I take out the bed for Radha Govinda, nice wooden bed, put it up on the altar. Then I begin to undress them one by one and put them into their wonderful night clothes. I have five different sets of night clothes, trying to get more too. Krishna resists my fitting him in nicely. He's not a perfect fit. Radharani, perfect fit. She looks so nice. She's more cooperative. So then the clothing they're wearing during the day, I take it out, put all the jewelry and Krishna's clothes in one little small sandwich seal-tight bag, Radharani's clothes in another one, put that inside a large seal-tight bag, and that's marked one for each day, and put it away, put them to bed while Prabhupada overlooks. Then, after they're in bed, I put Prabhupada, take off his day's clothes, put on his evening blanket. Such a sweet thing to do. And now, I have this wonderful addition on my altar, a wooden murti of Krishna in his Gambhira pose, with his hand in benediction and one hand on the lap. He's sitting, you know, not in the lotus, but with his two knees forward and legs tucked under him. Very exquisitely carved on a little piece of wood, which an artist did from Jagannath Puri temple, and gave it to my disciple, Bhagavat Dasa and Tulsi Dasi. And I saw it in a photo and I asked for it, and they gave it to me. So he's here, although I wish I did more worship for him, just like to touch his knees. So many things worth living for. Dushtaman to me. You want to talk on top of music? Try this for size. When I finished that other side of the tape, I thought, well, that's it. I won't do more of this. If I want to do more, I'll have to wait till it builds up so I feel I really have something extra to say. The feelings. It's all about feelings. Bhajans also. More feeling than intellect. And we want feeling in bhakti. So the other music is also not exactly bhajan, but I try to bring it into that area and express some feelings that I don't usually have access to. I'll see if it builds up, I'll do more. But at least I wanted to start this side with something transcendental without my having to beg for it or explain it as such. Hare Krishna, I hear you like to play some music and improvise speaking on top of it. I heard you did some of that recently. So I put this CD on. I heard you liked 1960s sounds. I heard you liked the music emanating from the Lower East Side musicians. Well, here's 66 Lower East Side. Remember it? Remember that drum? That rhythm section? So why don't you improvise? I can get out those memories if you like, those canned memories. Now it's kind of mixed up, past and present, Jala Dutta Diary, The Beginning Archive Book, Nandi Mukhi, Prema Bhakti Marg, Rasaraj, the new scene, the old scene. I could go there, still, and talk about it. What was it like, they might ask, when Swamiji such and such memories like that are fine, but the essence inside is what you really want. I remember the day they had their grand opening when they recaptured 22nd Avenue, packed house. I drove in a road in Samak Rishi's big old car that he had at that time. What was it, an LTD? Was it Madhu drove me? No, Baladev. Of course, I knew I would get a headache summer's day. I was at that time writing shack notes. Took a day out for it. So anyway, Ramabhadra asked me to speak first, so I said, no, not me. Mukunda goes first. He was first. So Mukunda Maharaj got up. He spoke nicely. Told the memory of Prabhupada asking him to go to Con Edison and get the telephone turned on free without a down payment. Some other stories I don't remember now. I remember that Jadarani was in the audience, and that made me a little disturbed. What to speak of? So many, just too many people there. Bali Mardan. A letter sent from China from Umapati saying, I hope you have one of those hot summer days today. He told a memory about Prabhupada making some chutney, I think. So anyway, when I got up, I told how even that morning I had listened to Prabhupada 66 on tape, morning classes, and that the memory of that of Prabhupada in those days and the hearing of it on sound, in tapes, exists and is a reality as much as now, 1990s, here we are. Is that what I said? I think I said that when I meditate on this place, that's a different thing for me, because I don't, here I am, 1990, and here we are. You want to hear some stories and so on, celebrate that we have this place and use it now. But for me, it's more an inner world. I guess you could say a separation mood. Okay, that's fine. But is that a reality for you? And how does it exist? You're talking about it now, just like when lecturers talk about hearing. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole class is just about we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It's important to hear. When you hear, you get purified. The topics are very important. It's the most important scripture. It's the best service. Yeah, but let's do it then. Don't just talk about it. As I speak, 1998, end of February, the collie is barking in the backyard. It's 10 minutes after 3 a.m. I'm sitting on a little mat, crouched over the tape recorders, looking down at the wood knots in the floor. Haya Griva, Kirtanananda, Brahmananda, Satyabrata, Stradish, Don, Dwarkadish, Rabindra Sarup, Jadarani, Brahmananda, Gargamuni, Rupanuga, Damodar, Ray Rama. How could I forget Ray Rama? And Swamiji, Hey Krishna, Karana Sindhu, and Lord Chaitanya, and Sri Krishna, and Bhagavatam, and Bhagavad Gita, and Prasadam, and Back to Godhead magazine, Lower East Side, Tompkins Square Park, and what we're leaving behind, huh? Murray and Steve. The music, the drugs, the job. I didn't leave behind the job. Welfare department. Mama Mandir Mater Gati Matsarva Padam Mojo Radha Madana Mohanu. The one-headed drum, the rivets or the nails around the rim of that one-headed drum, Swamiji's fingers, fingernails, cuticles, graceful movements, the hue of his skin, the color of the chudder, dhoti, cuddy, turtleneck jerseys he had and we had after him. You see Radha, his basic lectures, his sweet lectures, his anecdotes, telling so many stories for the first time, and then for the second time, and then for the third time, even back then. I can't hear it any more than you do, who's ever hearing it now. It's coming through to us, whoever you are. There's no real special privilege in having been there. Well, I guess there is. It's in your bones now, Dadhichi's bones. Don't come to me and ask me for my bones. Old bones as they are, don't want to give them up. Hanging in there, hanging on there. The scene is fading. I mean, the players are leaving the stage one by one for another world, and it's becoming all history. Archives, books, photos, second generation, third generation. A few old timers pretend to remember what it was like when Swamiji started to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, as Hayagriva used to say, Florida accent, Krishna. And the West Coast used to say, Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Good old American jaw. Enunciation of the holy names is still okay. Sitting on the floor and sweating and chanting with the Swami under the naked light bulb, getting high. Foolish pretensions to enter the one, to get high. Wow, I'm getting high on this. Rama, Rama, get into it at least. Shaking your head, closing your eyes. It's
long as he doesn't mind, he says, fine, go ahead, get into it. Not that you have to pass an examination first, that I properly understand the holy names, and then I can shut my eyes and shake my head and get high on it. No, just go ahead and do it. Impure or pure, akama kama, moksha kama, udara di, tibrena, bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It's tibrena, it's powerful, it'll purify you wherever you're at. Pause and come in again. Wave after wave. How could he keep it up? How could he be so strong? He wasn't even taking any pills. I mean, some little pills, some Ayurvedic pills. Of course, he was heading for a stroke. Working hard for Krishna. Better than Dadhichi. He gave his bones every day just to deliver us. Rama, Rama, Hari, Hari. When you hear it now, it doesn't sound wild or anything, does it? Just like in jazz, some of the sounds that were coming out at that time, Ornette Coleman, John Coltrane, well, they do sound wild now, but sometimes the reviewers look back at some of those records and they say, I wonder what it was that upset so many people, or they thought it was so far out, they flipped out, they couldn't accommodate this new sound. Because when we look at it, when we hear it now, 40 years later, it doesn't sound so wild compared to what's going on. So this chanting is like that. It's quite sedate compared to rockabilly, rugby, kirtans, breaking the time, speeding ahead, stopping with a big crash and starting up again. Kirtans that have been done by so many players in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Because Swamiji was leading the beat, and he kept it steady, and he didn't go so fast. But we were getting off spiritually, ecstatically, in ways I don't see so much nowadays. Oh, I do too, but so much outward expression of it without embarrassment. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. I seem to remember, standard for me was to keep closed eyes and then open the eyes occasionally, see how things were going on around, make sure you're still on the planet. Swamiji is still there, look up at him, and then back to closing your eyes and just digging it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very sweet thing he had, the way he gathered us together. He said we were like useless things lying in the gutter. And he said he was useless too, meaning that he was loitering around Manhattan with just a few pennies and dollars here and there, no following. He said, so when the two uselesses came together, we became worthy. The broken parts of the tambura came together, the discarded gourd, the old strings. Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama